Hello everyone, Ger Hoy here in the chair for this edition of Hopping the Ball on the weekend that Clare entertained Limerick. We will be talking a lot about hurling. So we have our regular, Pat Hickey, and this week we're delighted to be joined by a man well known in Clare, GA circles, Neil O'Brien from Callaghan's Mills. Neil, very welcome.
Thanks, Ger.
Okay, Neil is a current coaching and games officer for Clare County Board, so we'll talk a bit to Neil about that. But maybe, Neil, before we go further, we might just maybe sit back and listen to see how you got involved in sport and GAA especially.
Okay, thanks, Ger. As you said, Neil O'Brien from O'Callaghan's Mills. I suppose I grew up in a farming background, and sport was never far from the television or any field of life we went to. Most things we went to, you know, as young lads, was going to matches, like, so. Yeah. I suppose the early life, I suppose we were kind of blessed with Clare's run of hurling in the 90s, that 2 months the title, or 3 months the title, two All-Irelands, that four or five club title, Munster clubs in a row, we were on a roll, and we got a lot of trips out for that with Clare teams, and with Clare teams in club hurling. My father Liam used to be doing match commentaries there with Joe Finnick here in Scariff and Michael O'Sullivan in us, so any match that could be got to, we went to it, and we got a bird's eye view out of the commentary box and Thurles's and Gaelic Grounds and Cusick Park. So they were great days travelling on the road, they were.
They were great days, and Liam was a few years ahead of me at school, Neil, and he did an awful lot of games locally when there was no Twitter, no YouTube, no, those hardly VHFs videos, they were just about in, but he did a power of commentating, and did it actually in the 90s, Killadeen, and we won the junior championship, and he did a video for that, so yeah, fond memories of Liam, yeah.
Yeah, when you think back to different times, they were like going round to matches and going round selling videos afterwards. Knocking around to people's houses, playing in the match, selling them a tape for £10 or whatever it was. I remember even opening up when we were doing a job at home there in the house there. Sometime later, there was a big drawer underneath the television that had all matches in it from down the years. But sure, there was matches from every type of source. Hurling, football, there was even pony racing, so it was, but like the different times you said, the technology has moved on so much.
And Liam, how did he get into it? Can you remember, was he into it when you were actually toddling around at home, or did he get into it?
Well, I can remember my cousin, or Liam's first cousin, Mary McNamara in Bradford, and she used to always say that my grandfather used to ask him when he was young now to do his party piece, and was doing match commentaries from, I suppose, they didn't have televisions at that stage either, so they grew up listening to me Hall O'Hare on the radio, and that's how it's, as far as I know, is how far it started anyway. So, and I think he was encouraged in a national school by Mrs. O'Brien down there, that was the headmaster, to keep at it, so it's just, I suppose.
Fascinating, because I never quigged it when he went to Scariff, like, you know, that he was into it, you know. Absolutely. So hurling, and I suppose all sports really, was it?
Two sisters are playing camogie, and sure, my brother did a lot of athletics too. He went to school in Flennans, and he would have done a lot of athletics there. I suppose from the mid 2000 onwards there for about 10 years, like, so.
Yeah, sure. Mike, your uncle, was involved in
cross country and stuff like that. Yeah. Sure, my grandfather used to do a lot of cross country running back in the day as well.
Remember Mike, he's a few years ahead of me. He's older than Liam, isn't he? Older than Liam, but I remember when he had Leaving Cert done, he came back for a couple of years coaching athletics back in Scariff, like, you know, in the college. Yeah. Okay, very good. So, and as a young fella then, were you handy?
I could say yes, but I'll leave it others to judge my...
is there video evidence?
I think they were out match commentary, Joe.
Did your father ever had the pleasure of commentating when you were playing a match yourself?
I would say hardly, I'd say, or Pat, because I'd say he was over the team, I'd say. So.
Oh, yeah.
It was either him or Joe Cooney was over the team. They were usually on the sidelines, so the commentaries were left aside the wall, so...
And of course, you got lots of advice if he was involved with your team.
Oh, sure.
God even knows. When you came home, what went wrong or what went right.
Advice was good, sure. There'd be analysis for... analysis by paralysis was it. Famously said on RT commentary one time. So the game would be studied well anyway.
But just goes to show the love of the game that was in the household, like, in all, all sports. It was fantastic,
Well, I'd say there wasn't there was no house that saved that wasn't the same way. It was the same everywhere. Like,
it was,
especially around rural areas, anyway, it was bigger,
So
it would be so.
That's it.
So, and where'd you go to school, Liam?
Yeah, I attended Kikish National School for, and I went to Tullow Secondary.
You had the heck teaching you saw.
Mr. Heron. I better call him by his proper title. But, Sean was a master teacher. He was like, he was as well versed in music and dance and geography and history and a fierce love for Gaeilge he had. It was like you learned a lot in circumstances, I suppose, that wouldn't have been on maybe curriculums now, we'll say. He was great. We'll say it was every Monday, every morning we go in on a Monday, and it would be the nook done lay, and it would be a big whiteboard, and everything be written down on it, and that had be turned the page for the following week. At the end of the year, you'd look back what happened in September and October, and All Ireland finals and what happened in Irish everything. So, fierce interest in it, like, so.
But that was the rounded part of the education, it wasn't just.
And I suppose, look at it, it's the part of it, I suppose, it's the use part of it now, you know, just the basic parts of it, like, but just the part that you can use nowadays, like, just like, so. And attended Tullow National School or Tullow Secondary School then for 5 years then. So started out with Michael McMahon, father of Shawnee, first year or two, and then William O'Mara, and then Jimmy Cooney from Airog then.
Jimmy, that's another, a lot of strong GM in there.
GM in there as well, too, there was. So I suppose it took a team along the way it did.
And after you left Tullow, did you go working?
I attended Peliskinry for 2 years after that, and then after that, then I started working in the forestry then through Mike Noonan with SWS Forestry, and I suppose I spent best part of 10 years at it then before changing career then at that stage. So
you're still on the land.
Still on the land, yeah.
And you, are you in Clare? Are you elsewhere at the moment?
I'm in Clare now, fully now, there since last year. So.
All right, so that'll bring us on to your GAA credentials then. So you played, obviously, like all of us tried to play anyway. When did you become involved in kind of officership? Were you involved in the club?
I took over as secretary when I came back from Peliskinry, probably around 2007 at the club. And I suppose did 4 or 5 years and took a year or two of a break and went back again then. So probably over a 10-year period, did 7 or 8 years as secretary, like, so learned my trade at that side of it. And
How did you move into the county then, delegation?
Well, I suppose, so I started refereeing first. I kind of got a bit involved with Fela came to Clare in probably about 12 years ago, so maybe 13 years ago.
2010,
somewhere around that time frame, anyway. It was anyway,
Were you refereeing this stage?
That's when I started doing it. And there was a couple of positions then, and Bourne and Ogden then came up along then, and Joe Cooney asked me would I take chairman, so I reluctantly went along with the line. And it's been 5 years in the role, an enjoyable role now, I'll say, and meet a lot of people around the county, and a lot of young lads, and well, you would see young lads that now were on a Clare All-Ireland winning team last year, they won mine on that. Like, you'd see them coming up along, do you know, like,
through the development squads and all that.
And it was great to see, like, we'll say, look at, I suppose, so many young lads tug out for Clare when they start out at under 14 and development squads, but, it's like a funnel effect, like, you know, you spread your base wide and you try to get the players coming up to an elite level then, like, so. And sure, then 2 years ago, then sure, I went stood for a position and coaching and games officer. Then I was lucky enough to be selected by by the clubs of the county to the trust in the position. So,
and Neil, I suppose it's too simple a thing to say. What's the job description? What does the job entail? The role, what does the role entail?
Tis wide ranging role, I suppose. I might have looked at the full job description when I was going for the job, but I suppose, look at it's the development of underage hurling in the county through the club structures and the county games to the development squads on up to under 17 at Celtic Challenges. So it's starting development squads at 14 with three teams at hurling, 14, 15, 16, our Celtic Challenge team at 17, and then two teams at football then in 14, 15 and 16. So And then you would be working with them, then the Tobourne and Oaks development, the role that leads over the development squads then, and the post-primary and the coming to Munster School then, so to make sure there's a programme of games in with coming to Munster School and the post-primary hurling football then as well, like, and obviously we'll say, look, during the summertime it works very smoothly, but there's a bit of thoughtful planning then has to go into at the start of the year from September onwards, when obviously daylight becomes an issue when you're working with what I suppose we'll say maybe 2 to 3 days a week, and that there isn't a crossover then with Dean Ryan that starts up of in course, early September and you're still in knockout competitions.
Dean Ryan's 15 and a half, is it?
Dean Ryan's 17.
17.
Yeah. So obviously you can't be have your minor championships cutting across there too either, like we'll say, like, so like there's a lot in it, development squads take a lot during the summer, like you've over 400 players in it, like you've 60 plus coaches, logistics, and venues.
Yeah, and as regards the coaches for all the teams, Neil, how are lads recruited? Or is that your job to try and find them, or is it kind of a...
There's a committee that worked there kind of overhead side of it, then that they'd be... They'd have no more than any club AGM night, they'd have a review of the year that would happen, we'll say, then, and we'll say where they see areas of concern, we'll say, like where it would be maybe like the logistics, we'll say venues, transport, we'll say first aid, even to mention like that, even when you're hosting a county, we'll say with matches there, like in which we'd often do in Carlow, and you could have 10 or 12 teams coming there on a given Saturday, that there would be first aid covering that, because we have travelled on the road and cover hasn't been provided and lads have got injured, like, which is not good enough at this day and age, like, we'll say, when lads are putting so much into it and parents driving them to and from trainings 2 nights a week, we'll say.
Parents or grandparents?
Whatever role, so, they'd be looking at it, and obviously there's a natural progression too, I suppose. We've had a couple of very good coaches now, and obviously they are going along now and getting jobs with clubs and with county setups here and there, like, so, like, look, it is a kind of an evolving door, like, and we just try and spearhead who we could see was progressive and who would like to get on board and go with that and blend them in then with, I suppose, lads that are there a number of years to kind of give that kind of oversight of it, like, we'll say, and have lads in to just kind of oversee the operations then, because if you've, any company needs to have an oversight of it to see how it is going, and like if there's issues there on the line, or there's someone has to be kind of sit back and just be able to see that, be able to approach the person and say, look, we could do this better, we could do that better, we're working, like we'll say, there's plans in place that we're playing the game, trying to bring everyone through at a level, like, so them plans have to be born, they have to be brought out, like, they have to, like, so.
Yeah. So when you took up the role first, Neil, what did you kind of have to do? Was there somebody there on the role before that you kind of tap into, or did you just have to look at...
Yeah, Sean O'Halloran was the predecessor, and sure, Sean has the wealth of experience I suppose, decades worked down the years in Clare GAA and Budaike and club scene, and because there was no club that Sean wouldn't know people inside out, and like, so Sean was a good mentor, and I started... Michal Duffy then sure was the game, had been appointed the games manager that year as well, so... Like, Michal is a very hands-on, hard-working individual in that role, like, he's like, and we were obviously going through a transition period. There's a new model in place now, that the amount of GDCs, which are the new Games Development Officers, they obviously, we were promised we'd get so many, we were kind of, like, I suppose anyone in HR, promises were made, we thought we were there, next thing went down a step or two, brought back, get plans in place again, and you're kicked back again to touch you are, but... I suppose now we have a platform, we have a base, we have 10 clubs to every GDC, we'll say. They are working then with a secondary school or two secondary schools each, then they have the primary schools in their region then, we'll say, then, and like, we'll say, it's working now, like, once we have it now, it's working good, like, you know, but it's just getting to that period. The first year was tough because you were always hoping we'd get over this next hurdle, and next thing you could get rebuffed a bit, like, so.
And in that period of time, were kind of secondary schools or clubs or national schools kind of been onto Mike Duffy or yourself?
Oh, they would have been, like, and in fairness, there would have been a number of people that were going around in clubs, good club personnel going around to different clubs doing the job, like, in fairness to them, like, and still to a certain degree, they're still doing it, like, they're like, because obviously, like, if you've 15 second or primary schools inside in the region, you can't be at all of them every week, so they're done in 6 week blocks, and then there would be young lads then trained up then to go around doing more schools then in the period, like. So
And is there how do you divide up the in terms of the size of clubs? If there's huge numbers, you might have to give them extra.
Yeah, there was a bit of debt, I suppose.
Or did they demand it, like, because you can't, it's very difficult to go into a club size of, say, a Rogue, or they have huge numbers at juvenile level.
Yeah.
And whereas compared, come out to Fecal or Kinnunina, and you have smaller numbers.
Yeah, well, of course, I suppose, down the middle, you have the spine, the dual clubs.
Yeah.
So, like, there would be hurling football there, so, like, there would have been a smaller number of clubs. We'll say when you take in two clubs there, like Joseph's would have hurling and football, like. So, we'll say, as you said, Nice Clare, then, like, you have 10 standalone hurling clubs, like, we'll say. So there would have been that in it.
But I think there's great credit due to everyone involved, Neil, at that level. Youngsters are getting a great opportunity and getting the best in tuition. And if it were any way decent and interested, there's progression steps there up along. And compared to years ago, it was only the elite lads that were brought in. Yeah. There's so many players now brought in if we've any potential at all, and then you improve
with the
level of coaching that they're getting. I know sometimes you might have feedback from parents saying, geez, we have to buy this food or that food and all these things, but they're showing the right way of doing things. And I think Clare are now have won that. Top, we'll say, academies, I'd say, really. And it's bearing fruit. I mean, everyone said the low ebb was a couple of years ago when the minors were beaten 40 points by Cork. Yeah. But look where we are now in comparison to then. Like.
Yeah.
So I think there's great credit due to all involved, in fairness.
I suppose it was an unfortunate time that time, we'll say, COVID.
COVID, didn't help.
I suppose there was plans in place at the time.
Yeah.
But probably that bunch had missed out on the plans that were there, like, the head, like, we'll say. Yeah. Like, still that team at under 20 last year push Cork in a Munster final, and Cork went on and won All-Ireland Hendy afterwards. Like, the best match they had was Clare all year. There is a kind of good. And I suppose, look, there is that effect too, I'd say. When things are going well, people buy into the idea, people embrace it, and it's driven, the agenda's driven on, then it is, like. And look, at, I suppose, when you get the success there, then, like, we'll say, likes the minor and the league final, and with a bit of luck a couple of years ago we could have had another Munster final there when we lost and penalty separate. A small little bit can give you the extra bounce and get the goodwill going, like. Yeah. So,
but even Neil, to have the likes of Donald Maloney coming back down into that level of underage structures and development, I mean, that speaks volumes for, you know, what it takes, really. That Donald had enough success, he could have sat back at home and never stood in the field again, like, you know what I mean, in fairness to him, you know.
Yeah, and I think where it really stands out is to the coaches then. They, you know, they get the education and the knowledge from Donald, and he's like, doesn't the men working behind the scenes other than Donald, mightn't be noticed or not, but people that are involved know the work that goes
exactly
in there.
That's why I mentioned him, because that's exactly, because he wouldn't be going around, you know, you meet Donald on the line, he's with Gareth, like, and you never realise how much work he does with the underage.
Yeah.
Like, even the impetus to set up the secondary school competition during the winter, young fellas. I mean,
there's been a huge success that has been. And even I think the idea of incorporating Munchens and Ard Skull Reach and Gort, so many Clare players, like, when you look at Harty Cups now, we'll say, and you see Ard Skull Reach getting to finals and going on to All-Ireland finals, and a huge number of Clare players, like, you have more Clare players in them teams than you have Limerick, like, you know. It's a pity it's not at the other side of the Shannon, like, but, like,
it's as good,
in fairness, they're getting such a high standard of coaching and games in there, like. It does stand to the county.
And as regards the football side of it, Neil, have you to take a kind of a pragmatic approach as regards how much, I'll rephrase it. As the Clare coaching and games officer, you're obviously part of a group within Munster. Is that correct? And I presume you have regular meetings in Munster. Is there a kind of an agenda set out for each county then during the year, or a work plan or whatever?
Like, there'd be a lot of that done now, we'll say, through the full-time staff now. They'd lay out, like, there'd be budgeting put in place and all that kind of stuff. There would be, like, we actually have a meeting next Monday on the budgeting side of that, is, like. But you'd outline your position, where you are and what you're doing, and everything has to be approved, we'll say. So you put your calendar in place and you send it down for approval, and you give we'll say, maybe monthly this time of year, updates to the provincial and seeing you bring up issues that arise, like we'll say, for instance, an issue that has cropped up now in the last couple of weeks is that the Dean Ryan version in football, we'll say, that competition runs from Christmas onwards. But you have county minor football and hurling on that time of year too, and it's having a huge effect on it. That agenda has to be brought now to Munster to try and see if we could run
realign
the
it.
Two competitions side by side, the two under 17s, because it's not acceptable at this day and age that a young lad maybe doing his junior cert, he's outside playing football competitions for his school. He might have training for the Clare minor hurlers or footballers twice a week, we'll say Tuesday and Thursday, playing his school's match Wednesday, club activity going on, and trying to provide education. That can't continue. The good player is constantly getting burnt out. He's been pulled in every direction.
Neil, are we heading towards the day where the dual players become an extinct?
It's very hard to see how it can continue that they can. The season is so condensed and packed. It's very hard
to
see.
Even at development level.
It's very hard to drive the 2-1. Sid, when Teddy McCarthy won All-Irelands in 1990, and you see only a handful of players would have played County at June since then, and I'd say nobody probably in the last, maybe Podge Collins might be the last one that just shows the commitment, and it's come down along into the club scene too, and it's going to come down, there's so much on, much happening, that players just, they'll get burnt out, the injuries, and everything, can't be done,
And that's the elite level, and most young fellas, and we've all been there, Neil, if you're interested in football, you want to play a boat as long as you can, as often as you can, but the commitment required, say, at development squads, level mitigates against it, really.
You have to look at the logistical point of view and make sure that, if they are wanting to play both, they're not expected to train for both every night. If they're on a fitness program or a gym program, that program will cover both. You have to give them, every young lad, the opportunity. If he wants to play, that he has to. And look, there will probably come a state. No one's going to hold a gun to any young lad's head and say you have to choose one or the other.
But there'll come a time when they have to make a choice.
There will come a time when, they know themselves. The choice has to be made.
And they'll make the choice based on their own kind of interest, whether it's going to be football or hurling.
Of course,
And currently, Neil, what sort of hours would you be putting in?
I'd be afraid to say too much in case my employer would hear me. But
a considerable amount of your free time is in it anyway.
There's a considerable amount of time. It is manageable because you can run it but there is a considerable workload. But look at
For people, ordinary people to know that, people are often critical of people in positions, but they don't realise what's involved behind the scenes and the hours people put into it.
I should look at there is probably an element. Maybe that's our side for not communicating good enough what is, maybe it's just their side that they don't want to listen to what is there. No more than any club role or officership role, there's a huge volume of work there to be done. And it's only ever getting ever greater. So much going on, between 10 years ago, the likes of Gerda Vitton and Child Welfare at such a high level as what is now. There's just so much more bureaucracy and safety nets that have to be looked at and everything.
As regards to Gerda Vitton and safeguarding, Neil, have you kind of an oversight of that, or is that left to Joan Crotty?
Communicate back then in relation to where there might be leads that have to. And I'd say, look, there's no one, not as if there's anyone avoiding it, day life and work hours and everything, getting around to doing it,
we've all been, through this springtime, getting updated on safeguarding. It does take a bit of time.
It does, 100%, and I think from when they started first, when you were referees administrator and I was on the referees board, I think was it a night inside with Fergal Gray talking for a few hours. It's 3 and 4 sessions to get it done. There's a lot more than what there was before.
And more, as you say, scrutiny as to who has it and who hasn't.
Exactly.
And you don't shall not cross the line unless you have it done.
Yes, correct. Exactly.
But what's your, say you mentioned Michael Duffy and his team, would you have regular meetings with Mike, or is there just a plan put in place?
There would be a lot of regular meetings. We'd meet the various stakeholders side of it, meet the primary school, we'll say the secondary schools, the primary schools, the two hurling board, the hurling and the football board would play on a regular basis, and we'd have joint up meetings with coaching and games. There'd be a person sitting on the bodies, and there'd be other various people appointed in from we'll say various groups in the county, like we'll say handball, ladies football, Camogie'd sit in it. I'd say there'd be two schools delegates on it. There would be a couple of hurling people involved in, a couple of football people involved. James O'Connor and Jorkeen is involved, Don Medden's involved. Like, there'd be a lot of voluntary hours going in there, just as a kind of basically look at when there'd be ideas and stuff to be done, like that they'd be borne out. Like, we'll say, like we held a very good there night there back there about 6 weeks ago. A coaching workshop to make sure every club coaching officer was trained to a standard, whole thing is set to a schedule, it came from discussing, with a couple of very good lads on it, and they kind of bore out ideas and how it would work best, and I think we'd over 44 people inside in the night, which was, and one thing I couldn't get over was the level of engagement. It was very easy for the tutors to do a course and go through a course when there's feedback and there's talk.
Involvement, I suppose,
for all the world, makes it harder when you stand up on top of the robe and everyone above is kind of nodding down their heads and look like they're falling asleep and like stitches in there. But it just shows the level of positivity in the game. I wouldn't say there was anything critical in it, but it was all how do we get, how was a club coach now? How does he get more lads to do award ones, we'll say? How do you get more up there? That's 10 hours of training, which is 2 hours, asking, could we get it all done in one or whole day of a Saturday? It's a lot to give up time every night, five nights in a week for 5 weeks in a row. There's a lot of work in that.
Neil, and the club coach or the club chairman trying to find underage coaches, right? And a fella might, or a woman, girl, might put up their hand, and then they're told you have to do this, and these are probably younger people with smaller families, and the time is the essence, really, isn't it? They're trying to make it as...
They're still only 7 days in the week, 24 hours in the day.
They ask, and the requirements, be it Garda Vitten, be it safeguarding, be it level one, and the amount of hours... You have to take your head off to people that actually do it.
I suppose it's not what was 15 years ago when it was a parent or two of the team took over the team. I think the day is gone. There's a coach inside of it now. There's a bit more professionalism into it. Not that there wasn't anything wrong with what was there at the time. Clubs did what was best, and there was still only one competition winner at the end of the day. There's definitely. It's a bit different now, and there's kind of, you need to take yourself back a bit, and you can't be kind of, I suppose, we'll say, when you're on the line and your own young lads are involved in that, it can be very hard to see out beyond the line and, we'll say, see what needs to be done or that, and you don't want tensions at home or anything over decisions by leaving he or she on or taking he or she off. Then obviously if someone is taken off, then you have the element that, well, you didn't take off your own son or daughter, so there is an element to that, I think there's, I can see from, especially around the hurling side of it anyway, I'm not sure back to the football now, because I wouldn't be back there as much at matches, with the refereeing law matches, I'd see there's a lot of senior players now involved with every court, every setup now underage, and I suppose, they're bringing a new idea and new concepts and a new side of coach and thought, what they've embraced and they see, they're bringing that to the table for younger lads training, because strength and conditioning and gym work, is every team, I'd say, from under 14 or 15 in the club now is doing a level of it
I think it's a very active sign of a good club that you get the senior players either currently playing or retired back coaching, because it hasn't always been the case, Neil. One or two might stay on, but generally when fellas stop playing, they disappear.
Oh, they're very well coached, and unfortunately, I suppose in rural parts, and they've left the area and that's, I'd say that's probably one of the biggest things from, I suppose, clubs in the 90s nearly in East Clare. Like, there was a huge level of people that left, I'd say, be it the Mills or Scariff or Kilnane or Feet, you know, like, they moved on to other areas, they moved to town areas with work or whatever like that, like, and, like, there isn't the same level of employment in rural parts of what there was.
And
like,
even,
you know,
the accessibility to get housing is an issue. That's why Innes, Sixwell Bridge, Crosheen, Tulla would have kind of benefited from fellas from Kilnane moving into Innes, we still bemoan the fact that Shane O'Donnell is there, Og, and that John Conlon is Clonlara, right? Yeah. So, you know, I mean,
three Kilnane lads got all stars left.
We keep playing.
I think if you had the three of them, I think we might be looking at Kilnane for Ken Lemington 2024.
Not alone that, but Martin O'Donnell, Shane's father, was club secretary in Air Oak. And Conlon, massive behind the development plan, you know, they weren't just hurlers, they were active.
Yeah, 100%. And it's very hard to replace that then. And someone coming in then will say, like, there's always an element, like, look, if someone moves into a parish, they can feel like they're the outsider they can be slow to put their hand up. And I think some clubs can be very, very slow about asking to bring them into as well, like, you know. I think there's both sides, like, but like. Yeah. When you're losing calibre of people like that, that played on Clare teams, or, you know, and they move away, like, in their 30s, like, you know, and you know they're gone, like, but you know then that, like, they'll probably keep playing for the couple of years, but you know their children then aren't going to come back, which is a big loss, so.
And I suppose you had a situation for years, it's kind of moving over, away from it now, because they want to be qualified coaches, but usually parents got involved when their children were that aged and they got involved with teams. Of course, going on from the coaching side of it, Neil, there's a number of people moving around from team to teams, especially at adult level, in clubs all over the country. And some of them have two or three teams.
Joe Brawley has a very strong view on that.
He says they're on the gravy train and they're all devoted to the club and they're wearing the top, and the more training session, the more money they're making. There's less making decent money out around the country, and you'll see them moving from one county, even outside the county. Most clubs, even in Clare, they all have a coach now. A lot of them are outside coaches
and
as well.
Maybe two coaches.
And maybe two coaches, exactly. So there's a good living to be made out of it from coaches that go into strength and conditioning in particular, all levels of sport. They're all at strength and conditioning now. But
There is a circuit there, and there's definitely a lot of people on it. There's always an element, and one of them is going to say, like, they go down the road or whatever and they're going to get paid to do a job. Got involved with the wrong crowd all to get his abuse.
That's what I was coming at, the thing,
There is definitely, like, look, at the end of the day, there's only going to be one winner of every championship, and if there's 15 or 16 or 20 lads getting paid on it, someone's going to be the loser, unfortunately, it's a big strain on clubs' finances, you're talking about, like, big bucks being paid out there, like, and maybe the two people, and you've, statisticians and camera work and everything involved. Like, there's a big budget there, and
In fairness, Neil, there's nothing wrong with that, but he does come back to the club, volunteers, selling the lottery ticket. That's kind of
100%.
On their shoulders all the time.
Most clubs, I suppose, now even are at the stage that they've got the monthly draw, on top of lottery draws, like, and it's all about keeping afloat, like, this, and keeping the best what can go forward, I suppose there has been, I think most clubs in the county can be proud of, there's been huge development work done in each club around the place, or if not plans afoot major redevelopment, there's credit due, because, like, most of them clubs into the day are debt free out of it when it's done, there's fundraisers locally, drive is on, and there's constantly fundraising done to pay it off,
The kids nowadays growing up have fantastic facilities.
100%, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They want for nothing in that area, Do you know the coaches you have, are they accountable for their performance, I suppose is one way of putting it, or?
Well, I suppose, county, we've looked at it from a couple of different angles, and when you would hear the likes of Kieran McDermott and Donal Maloney speaking and stuff like this, it's about development. about bringing people through, casting the net wide.
Yeah.
Because firstly, I suppose, like, what could be, we'll say, like, there has been a Brendan thing done there, we'll say, and players have been put into their group, we'll say, like, whether it's an A, B or a C, like, but, like, a C player could progress at a very high rate once he comes to 15 or 16, physically and ability-wise, yeah, like, it can be, like, and who was the strongest lad and were able to push lads aside at 14, lads catch up with him then, like, so... I would never say that there is, like, obviously there's a drive to make sure you're competitive, like, and when you can be go out and play under 14 three matches against the likes of a Galway team and be competitive in all three, or going up playing Offaly's first team or Kilkenny with teams like that, like, I suppose it's just about having that there, right?
Yeah.
And you're just pacing yourself along then when it comes along towards minor, then, like, I would say that's probably the best way of putting it, like, you know, it's about keeping them all going, keeping them going. And I think what's there is too, as well, that the lads involved can see there's a progress coming along the line, like, there is, like, you know, Brian O'Connell has been there now a couple of years at minor, like, if the likes of Terms decide to move away from 20s, he's done fantastic for the last couple of years, that Brian would be more than well capable of going up there, like, Joe O'Connell has been with, from Clonair, has been with under 16s, and he can well progress up along, like, you know, so I wouldn't say they'd be accountable, but, like, at the same time, the, like, there's a programme in place, there's a plan in place, and you keep working to that plan, like, that, like, and of course, look, it's like everything, there'll be a couple of bumps along the road as well, there will be, but,
of,
like,
course, of course,
so it is, like, but...
Is there, and is there any kind of special way then that the various coaches or the various managers of the development squads can let a young fella know, you know, next year, Johnny, you know, you may not be back or you won't be back out? How is that handled on the...
Well, look, I would always say that, tis, I suppose, look, it is always a delicate subject, like, and you never want it to be a closed shop, because, like, look at, like, the clubs are the best way of knowing, like, a lad could be missed at an under 13 championship when you're talking about under 14 development squads the following year. And there has to be an eye there, like, if he does well the following year, that he has potential to get back in, like, he is, like, you know, like, of course, when you have three teams, you're talking about 75 players to run that, like, there's a lot of players, and, like, factoring a couple of injuries along the way, like, I suppose, really the biggest decisions have to be made when you come towards minor, like, we'll say, you know, we keep the three teams up along, like, you know, and you could definitely see, when it probably comes to 16s, you could probably see some of the lads decide, nearly, you know, they probably know themselves they're going to find it very hard to get on to a Celtic Challenge team, like, we'll say, like, but, like, look at, it's a tough subject, and, like, again, lads are called in for trials and they're picked on their merit, like, but again, it's not a task I'd like to have.
No,
I so it isn't, like,
you know, that's why I brought it up, Neil, because I think it's handled in the wrong way can affect a young boy or girl, right? Handled in the right way, but just as you said, there's no doubt about it. Kids themselves know from their peers where they stand with them. They'll always know, right?
They do, yeah.
It's,
yeah.
It's how the message is imparted, I think, is very important.
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
yeah. But and as you say, when you come to minor, that's really the crucial stage, really.
It is, yeah. And, like, look, I suppose the thing is, like, you don't want to lose any young lads to the game either, like, you know. Like, will they go back playing with their club minor team and that, like, you know, like, right, if a young lad doesn't make the Celtic Challenge now or minor squad, like, right, the minor leagues are on the springtime, like, you know, if he proves he's worth his going well in that, like, look, it has to be open to open it up for him, like, all of us, like, but, like, look, at clubs need as many players as they can, like, we'll say, like, you know, like,
What has impressed me this year, look at some. The seven of last year's minor team gone straight into the 20 team.
Yeah,
now I know there's a number of a couple of other lads all are more out injured, and there was a few opportunities there, but it's incredible. There are too many counties that many players go straight into the under 20 team.
No,
within 12 months. Like.
Yeah, and like a Clare team, the 20 team that was in a month's final. Yeah, exactly. Year, like, and a good few of them still playing so.
You know,
like Ron O'Connor's captain, Niall O'Farrell is still there. Like,
that's right.
But like, does, like, I suppose it showed the exceptional players that were on that.
Yeah, and I mean, Conor Whelan from Whitegate, like, he's now everyone knows what a great free taker Conor Whelan is around the county. A lot of people didn't know, you know, and now he's been exposed. He's played with minor and that, you know.
Yeah.
So if they keep up that level, like, they'll be kept, obviously. But of course, it's cutthroat and it goes to senior. But I think one of the most standout. I mean, Adam Hogan has proven the system works. If that all the developments that you're involved with hadn't happened, he could still be at home in Fecal.
He could. Although I have to say that he was a second year in Tulla. Oisín Clune himself, the same age.
Yeah.
I would have refereed a few games for Tulla.
Yeah.
And Tomás Kelly, Aidan Hart. But Tomás Kelly said, Oisín Clune, and well, Adam Hogan, he says, and Oisín Clune will be the backbone of this team, this Tulla team.
Yeah.
That was only his second year.
Yeah.
But Adam has progressed up, like it's amazing, absolutely amazing. Yeah,
he's a good example of what happens.
And like in fair, I think it was the side, as you mentioned, the Leds over the team there, that Tulla team that won a Hearty Cup. Very little would have been household names at Hull at the time, like. But what thing they had was heart and commitment and dedication. Yeah. You know, it was an unbelievable bond with each other, like they had. Like, it was incredible. And there was so many of that team then played with the Clare under 20s last year, then like that ran Cork to in Low and Limerick. Like, you know, I just like, I suppose for all the world, it's not always about the best player and all, if you have that bit of, that extra 10% from in the last 5 minutes, get out there and win that dirty ball.
And that was a feature of the Tulla Hearty team.
Oh, 100%
it was, to keep him going.
Yeah.
I know that the rule relaxed some bit, but it's tough, like, that a player who wants to be playing with at under 20, like Hogan last year, couldn't play with Clare.
Yeah.
And they went on, he was captain.
Yeah, yeah.
Once he played senior, and there was now the rule changed. Once the competition within 7 days, but like there's always done. The 20 could be on the Wednesday after you played senior championship.
And like the thing about that rule is like it's only cutting out one or two players.
That's all.
They can do that.
Yeah.
Like there's no mention of that rule when lads are training under 20 start of the year on a senior team playing Fitzgibbon as well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's forgotten about that. And, like, that's when the real pressure's on Lord. Like, from January onwards, they're like, there's only going to be a couple of Adam Hogan's and the young, I can't remember the young lad from Cork that was in the same scenario last year. Like, you know, Adam Screeny probably now from Offaly this year will come into that scenario. That's like, But, like, you're only stopping a couple of the best players that's playing the game.
Yeah.
And these are lads that could be very easily managed. You know, like it's very easy to manage between two different managements. You've only one or two players to look
that's
after.
All,
but when you're with different teams in different counties, in different competitions, who's monitoring this? There's nobody monitoring it like, so there isn't like, so.
I suppose, Neil, that brings it on to, they'll have to have a look at the Fitzgibbon and where he stands as regards the National League as well.
I suppose, look at the split season has made a season for inter-county hurling and club hurling.
Yeah.
But schools and colleges are still in there.
Caught in the middle.
And
somehow,
it has definitely made that working part of it even harder. Because the early part of the season, because the schools and colleges are still on the same time of year there. But they're squeezed more because county is squeezed more and the club, you know. If there was a way to maybe, I don't know, elongate the season somewhere and fit everything in as you went along.
Yes.
And I know Gerald Burns, I think, had a bit about this recently.
There was something
you take, like, say, for, I think, like, I didn't read the article in full now, but I think it was going back, maybe playing All Ireland in September, but that there would be club activity throughout the year there, like, but every club would have to have the same competition structure with that 16 teams, and you played. Three group matches
The ironic thing is, since the condensed season has started, there's a lot of counties to play in the county finals. They aren't that much earlier than they were when the championship was finished in September.
There's
often big gaps.
If you look at, there's only ever going to be four teams in the All Ireland with so there's a lot of teams out there already. Yeah. Like, so
the only thing, I suppose, the close season or the condensed season has done is given a certain certainty to club players. They know when the championship is starting in their home county, and they can make plans. Whereas before, you were playing the first round in May, and then not the next round in whenever your county was out. Like,
but I think the one thing you can take from the short term that Gerald Burns is in as president is that he is a touch for what has been on the ground. You can see that in his interviews. I actually at the last county board meeting, Bernard Keane, the Munster delegate, said that he's still secretary of his club.
He's
no intention of giving it up.
He was pictured above was it Jordan or doing something, tidying up a stand after a game. obviously enough. Hopefully he's like a breath of fresh air. He has hit the ground running, and he has kind of brought a common touch to it.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. Neil, have you to your term of office is 5 years.
Maximum.
So you have to go after that, is it?
Go after that, yeah.
And does that affect continuity, or is the new fella will come in, or the person, sorry, male or female, and they have to pick up the baton?
Sure, I suppose, look, everyone's put their own side on things. Obviously, I suppose, if it was working right and you put good plans in place, you'd like to think that continue on.
Yeah.
But again, sure, look, I suppose everyone brings their own side of things. Like, if we kept going all down, going to one rabbit hole, we might all end up below. It might end up a full hole. So
yeah, say you're, and actually I keep going back to kind of where the coaching games officer sits in regard to Munster. Somebody taking up a position, would there be a kind of a plan there, or a template to work on anyway, apart from having your own interest in what you're
playing? I suppose you're governed by rule, we'll say, and where you are, like, do you know what I mean? Like, and look at, I suppose, there's no point going in saying you're going to change the whole world, like, because it means that you have to change the whole county set up with the development squads, and them dates are set in stone. Do you know what I mean?
Like turning to Queen Elizabeth.
You work with the parameters that can maximise the performance of both codes in the county to all players, and that everyone has the respect. Do you know what I mean? You have your development squads are working on one hand, the clubs are working on the other side, your schools are working too, and it's all about harmony, making sure that the disruption is as minimal to everyone, and they can keep playing the games at such a high standard. And at the end of the day, I suppose, that's what it comes down to. Do you know what I mean? Because there's no point having our best young lads below sitting down for 12 months of the year with knee injuries and whatever. You know, they can't be overworked, they can't be overtrained. Sadly, it does happen, that's just where they are, where competitions are, so.
Yeah. I know that coaches and strength and conditioning people are coming out of college with all the theory. There was a theory one time that if you push them under 16 doing weights, that it wasn't right, that their bones are still developing. I presume that's taken into account, the body...
I'm not qualified enough to say, but I presume that they are looking after it, because I know they all do fitness tests and stuff at the start of the year, and each player is assessed separately, and programs are put in place to each player, which are specific, that's important, because there's no point in young lad spending money on it, firstly. Secondly, if the player isn't getting the maximise out of it, because it's no good, he'll get hurt or he'll get injured or whatever, And I know most young lads always want to be, I can lift the most or
I can
run the fastest. One thing that's a one-off thing with young lads between themselves. But as a person responsible over a team, and you've qualified after doing 3 or 4 years in college or 5 years. You're not going to let
Just go back to a point you made earlier, Neil, about we were kind of talking about retaining players and they go back to their clubs. I think the strength of the GAA is when you see the amount of Irish kids going foreign, no matter what country, and setting up clubs or joining clubs or getting part of the network. It's a great leg in when you land in Sydney to join the club, but I think the spread of games
is huge now, because not sure if they're one in China now, but they're more than likely those Asian games. The amount of people have gone out to Dubai and the UAE in the last few years, one time it was either London or New York in the story, there's games in every continent it's a great thing for someone when it's a big call to leave, to go off working in a foreign country on a continent, packing up your bags and leaving home. But I suppose there's a sense of, family when you're out there then and you're playing and something I know I had a cousin that went out and she started playing GAA out there. She forgot what the field was in Ireland when she was here, but she found it when she went out. Yeah. But that's the friendship side of it and the circle about it, because going to a big city like any of them places, it's daunting enough, to meet new people and all, and it's great to have a social circle
Even better is the amount of natives that are joining them.
They're
friends, exactly.
That's right.
And the other thing I'd say is, as well, which I thought was young Murphy now from the Mills, that's on the Clare Minors.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be the biggest man in the world, but very effective. It just goes to show you don't have to be 6 foot
on
a county team. You know, there's this perception there. Some managers, okay, like big men and whatever, but you don't have to be big and strong if you're nifty and you're gifted you're talented and you work hard. You don't have to be the biggest man in the world to get it.
No, definitely not.
I mean, Joe Dean, son is involved with Cork now, and Joe, of course, is one of the great corner forwards in his day with Cork, and now he's his own young lad coming back and following the same route in Cork, so he's a chip off the old block. So
I think he's bigger than Joe.
He's bigger, a bit bigger than Joe, right? Like, but
I heard Landers and Dale's podcast saying that the mother's side is size, whereas the mother, Joe hadn't.
But like,
he did enough damage in times with small nod, was he the big impact he had.
But I was impressed that Cordon Clare minor team, the fitness levels of them is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean,
like you see there last year, I was blowing the bridge there against Cork and the minors.
Yeah.
And Ronan Keane came out with a ball there for the full back line and bushed his way out along and put the ball over from his own half back line. Yeah. But it was the turn of speed and strength to push it out of the way, get out there and take a shot from 80 yards and put it over the back. You wouldn't see it as either match 10 years ago, let alone like it's under 17 now, like, you know.
Neil, we're as I said at the beginning, we're at the weekend of the big game, probably the biggest game for Clare in a long time, big game for Limerick too. Tomorrow, Cusick Park will be thronged. Pat, did you get an increase in attendance?
Yeah, it's gone over 20,000 anyway, so 20, you can't get a ticket for love or money.
Yeah, tickets are hard.
It's the most talked the whole country is engrossed in this game and what could happen and what might happen. And obviously, then there's all anticipation about the selection with TK and Shane O'Donnell list the subs. And Limerick missing a few of their regulars. Darrell Donovan's definitely out and Casey suspended. And Sean Finn has been left off with the team that's announced anyway.
Has he been left off? I didn't see the team
pass. I was mentioning Kyle Hayes won't be playing, but of course,
the
rumour mills are going through the rounds. I think it just shows the anticipation of this match.
Yes.
I was actually talking to a man the other day from Tipperary and he says he was going to run a pub up from a pub below in Tipperary if I sorted him out for tickets. That just shows like the interest of Tipperary men coming up to see Clare and Limerick Hurling.
Yeah, it's generated huge interest.
It has.
And there's a lot of people unfortunately disappointed they can't get tickets because of the capacity it definitely is a great start to the Munster Championship.
It's some opener of a competition, like when you can have a full I think everyone knows like the atmosphere is going to be just something unbelievable, like and like if that's the way you open a competition and show, like, look at, I think we're going to be treated to an epic game, history is showing the two teams every day they've gone out. It's been
toe-to-toe, pinted
either way, a couple of draws in there. Won below Limerick last year, after losing to Tipperary. And probably everyone said that, look, we're out of the championship after losing to Tipperary. How will we go down to the Gaelic grounds, let alone that? And we nearly got a Munster final below and then afterwards,
It has whetted the appetite big time, Neil. And as I was saying, it depends on what team actually takes the field, For both sides,
I think Brian has gone with the team that was in the league final, whether that's the team that starts or not. We'll take it on the paper that is some roar. If you see Shane O'Donnell and Tony Kelly and David McInerney warming up, three all-star hurlers, look at, be all in the day and see, it shows the strength and data how Clare has grown in the last
two years.
The
first 15 is okay, whatever's there, but the lads up to number 26, including TK, they'd all walk onto anything.
Yeah, they would, of course,
absolutely.
And look, there was no players blooded through the league. I've seen how well, like we'll say, Conor Lean. It would be very hard on Conor Lean, Keane Gelvin, if they didn't make the team after doing so well in the league.
Darrell Lohan got a lot of games.
Darrell Lohan in midfield. Keith Smith, unfortunately, then got injured in the semi-final. Was going so well, along.
There's no doubt about it, Lohan has strengthened the panel this year.
Hugely. Even there, the first couple of matches there, young Reen from Inis played some great hurling he did, probably maybe a bit unlucky that he was under 20, that he didn't get a bit more game time in he was being prioritised that side. Well, like, there is strength in depth, like, even the likes of Shane Meehan to come on, like, you know, he's played a good for Aaron Shanahar, has always turned up the last couple of years and got a goal, caught a high ball, got a goal or a couple of points any day he's come on, like, so, you know, that shows the I think, like, that's the one thing you could take out of the last couple of years, like, you know, right? Disappointing it might have been that we had a couple of near losses, but, like, the squad has been building, and this this league has proven that, like, we, without so many of the mainstay players, which you would have said a couple of years ago, like, without them, you could forget about it, like, but lads have really stepped up to the mark, like.
And there's no one saying we're a one-man team anymore.
No.
we have Limerick on Sunday, regardless whether we win or lose, we're hitting the Cork in the following Sunday.
Yeah, they have two weeks in a row, and then three weeks off, and then two in a row after that.
What's the third game?
I think we've Waterford last.
Waterford is at home.
Waterford is at home, tipping tip Tullis. Cork, I suppose, will have the beauty of the week off. Seeing how it goes. Like, it's a tough opening set of match. Like, I know it's tough for every team, like, because there's no match going to be easy. Like, but, like, I suppose, look at having that, like, because, like, we know Clare and Limerick, they're going to be an all merciful slog at it, like, and whoever gets over the line is going to be a pint or two either way, maybe even a draw, and then face on then for Cork, and Limerick have to go out to Cork as well yet this year. They have they have two hard matches on the road. Like, they have,
and
like,
and in fairness, last year Cork ran Limerick to a pint,
and very probably very unlucky very the same unlucky day, like, same day, so, like, yeah. So.
Look, it's great to be talking about it, lads. But I mean, and then go back, Neil, to your own role. I mean, that role and the coaching at underage is bringing on the Connolly and the Keith Smiths and all the boys, you know what I mean, in fairness, and bringing it to that level. So we've come near to the end of the programme. We won't get a chance to talk about Champions League, Pat, I'm afraid, but I think the chat with Neil has been
huge.
From our own perspective, Neil, just getting an insight into what the job entails, it sounds like a full-time job on a voluntary basis, in all fairness. You know what I mean? Yeah. And before we go, just some reflections for yourself. I forgot to go into kind of a bit of detail with you about refereeing. You started roughly 2010. You're still active, as required.
I'm still part-time active. I've had about 3 years of semi-retirement. There's some very persistent people in the county. Look at it. Like, I would say, like, you know, the 10 plus years we've had, like, in the morning, it's enjoyable, like, you know, like, I know there's going to be the odd bad day, like, and someone's going to tell you what they think you like, but look at the Lions.
And they tell you an open nest.
I never asked one of them yet what they thought of it, but, like, I would say, like, that, like, and you even do an umpire, like, probably have some great friends standing beside the goalpost for goalies, like, you know, you get on well, like, with most of the players, like,
and when you see you kind of into it, you understand what sometimes passions run high and people say things during the course of the game. And they don't, you know, but they, you know, they don't really mean it, and you forget about it after the match, like, and that, like, you know,
I think once anyone
and people realise nowadays there's no matches without referees and umpires, like, so there is a bit, even though I suppose we'll never be reach the level of the rugby, the respect for officials, but tis part and parcel of it all along, like,
but, like, you have to look at the speed of the game rugby, like, so, like, it's a huge difference, like, this, like, you know, like, and, you know, like, you'd miss something to blink of an eye in a hurling match, like, you would, like, you know,
and everyone's going to see it.
Everyone's going to see it, whether they didn't see it, they're going to say they've seen it, like, you mean, look at most people know once you've a level of honesty and integrity about it, like, that's it, like, you know, it's not a bad old spot to be in, like, in fairness, and, like, you actually maybe sometimes you've witnessed the best seat in the stand watching the match, and, like, you know, you'd see, like, if a game is free flowing and there's good hurling in it, there won't be a dirty straw pulling the match, and you have the view should be next to that the whole time through, like, you have been, like,
that's true. But Neil, look, thanks very much for that, really enjoyable chat. Thanks for coming into the studio. As I say, we wait with bated breath for the result tomorrow. Maybe later on in the year, maybe after another while, we might get you back in for a few minutes to discuss the year, how it's been for you. But Neil O'Brien, thanks very much. Pat Hickey, thanks very much. Until the next time, slán.